This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Barrett Salee joining us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. All right, Barrett, we got to know because through social media, we follow you on at Barrett Salee. They're on Twitter, also on Instagram. See a lot of posts with you there at Truist for that opening homestand. And we were trying to piece it together. I think John Saberry brought up a great point that it seems like every game you attended, the Braves lost.
That is correct. That is correct. I am so far 0-2 in my attendance career or attendance season. Although I would say Sunday night, Braves kind of got screwed a little bit. But, yeah, I was also there on Wednesday, and that did not go well. But it was still a great time. Both games, a lot of fun to be back at the ballpark. And, man, it felt normal. It felt like any other baseball game. It felt like 2019 all over again.
All right, so I'm going later in the month. It's going to be the Thursday night game against the Cubs. What can I expect as far as the protocols that have been put in place? I mean, you said it felt normal. So what can a fan expect that's going to Truist?
Honestly, the exact same thing that you always go through. I mean, there really is no difference. You walk in, you got to have a mask on. You can take it right back off once you get through. It's all for a liability standpoint. Mostly everybody have been vaccinated fully, so they know that. So, yeah, I mean, it's really the same old thing. There are several closed concession stands. They just kind of, I guess, don't want to pay all of the workers right this very instant. But, you know, when you go, it'll be 50% capacity, so I'm assuming more will be open. But, no, honestly, there is no difference. It is business as usual.
Is Terrapin, is that open?
Terrapin is open. It is open. And it's I went there, I guess it was Wednesday afternoon, and every table was booked. People, you could go in the game through the Terrapin tap room. It was all normal.
So, okay, all right. So I didn't know. I love going to the tap room there, but I didn't know if I could book ahead of time what I needed to do for that
I don't think you have to book ahead of time. I think you just show up, first come, first serve.
What is Barrett? Barrett, like your travel agent? I mean, is that what you're using?
Well,
for
I mean,
now?
He goes. I mean, he was one of the few fans that got to go to games last year. So yeah,
they had four or five wins. Let them have this moment.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt this Atlanta Braves love fest.
No, I'm through booking my trip. Go ahead, Pat. What is your question? Non-Braves.
No,
you want to talk about the Cardinals?
No, I don't. I was going to ask him about Sunday night, about the call. I mean, again, we all agreed it was an egregious call. But just take us back to the feeling in the stadium, because I know there were some idiots that threw stuff on the field, and I know that you were not part of that group, Barrett, but just take us back to when that call happened and how amazed you guys were that it was not overturned.
Yeah, my $8 beer is definitely investment. I'm not getting rid of that on the field. There's no doubt about that. It was as frustrating and as it felt like a lot like the 2012 232 foot infield fly against the Cardinals in the playoffs or in the Wild Card game.
That was not like incorrect, that. By the way. So go ahead.
Yes, it was. You're wrong. I'm right. We're not going to go down that road again, Pat. But it felt a lot like that. I think everybody in that stadium, including the opposing team and the opposing dugout, saw that he never touched the plate. Like, we all saw it. We all know it. It was indisputable. And I'd love to find a way to make the replay officials or replay umpires, accountable, put them in front of a microphone. Cause you look, I know the umpires on the field, and Travis Darnot even said it. He said, look, that's a bang bang play. He doesn't fault the home plate umpire for missing it. It's tough to judge that play in live action, but the people in New York don't watch it in live action. They've got the ability to get the thing right. And replay exists to defend umpires. Like, they put umpires through the rotation from games on the field to New York to sit in that office. So it exists to protect umpires. And, something about that has to change. And whether that be, you don't tell them what the call on the field is, and you just let them judge for themselves, or what? I don't know, but it was pretty frustrating. But I will say this, walking out of the stadium with my brother-in-law and a friend of mine said, hey, you know what? I've never been happier to be angry at a baseball game in person than I am right now, because at least we were there to get mad.
No kidding. You know, just a side note, I was watching the Cardinal broadcast the other night, and there was another just a terrible call, and it benefited the Cardinals, but it was a play at second base. Harrison had slid in, and I had sent the video to Colin Landrum, and it was egregious, just as bad as it was Sunday night. And it went to New York, and they, of course, said they stayed with the umpire call on the field, which was incorrect, by the way. And during that broadcast, they said the Cardinal announcer said something that I had never heard before. You know, during college football season, during replay, we'll hear people talking about, well, you know, the view in Birmingham, you know, they've got this extra view that, you know, we don't see on the broadcast. And according to the Cardinal broadcasters, they were told that New York is looking at the exact same feeds that we're seeing at home. So it made things even more perplexing to me. If they're looking at the same things that we're seeing and there's not a secret camera view somewhere, it even makes it even more ridiculous that they did not change these calls.
Yeah, no, 100%. I actually have heard that they get, not only do they get the broadcast, like they literally get the broadcast. They take over the broadcast to look at each play. And so I don't get it either. I don't get it either, but those things have a tendency to even out over the course of a season. Now, I will say if the Braves get screwed by this more often, now they had two makeup calls the rest of the week, which were hilarious. But if continues to happen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm pretty sure they don't want to have the playoffs in Atlanta this year.
Yeah, and quickly on the replays that they had in later games when Dansby pointed up, and I'll be honest, I thought you could have called it either way, but I told a buddy that I was watching the game, I said, $1,000 said they overturned this call to make up for what happened last night, because this umpiring crew does not want to deal with that.
Yeah, they don't want that. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, final Braves question from me. Ronald Acuna, the tear that he's on right now, when does he start getting the Barry Bonds treatment?
I think now until I think it happens soon. If Freddie doesn't get right and start hitting doubles, then I think that he might get this soon. But the fact that Freddie is behind him, I think, makes me think that maybe there's a chance that it doesn't happen that way long term, but you know, if Freddie's gonna, you know, hit 250 or whatever he's at now, I think he's below 250. Then yeah, you got to consider pitching around Acuna and then going with Freddie, and then I mean Ozuna is just a mess right now. So I think it happens soon. It might happen today in Chicago.
All right, Barrett, let's talk a little football. Tomorrow, 7 SEC spring games. I know we'll all have to review the tapes and so on digitally over the next 48 hours or so, because we can't consume all of that in one sitting. But just kind of highlight maybe a couple of spring games that you're going to kind of be in tune with to kind of be interested to see how these guys are progressing leading into fall camp.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama is obviously the one that I think everybody's going to watch because it's on ESPN. But I think it's the most intriguing because I wrote this week. It's not a normal rebuild or a reload for Alabama. I mean, when you lose all that they lost on the offensive side of the ball, including the Broyles Award winner with Steve Sarkisian, that's a big deal. And it's a big deal for everybody involved, including Bryce Young, who, you know, did not know if Bill O'Brien was going to be the offensive coordinator when he signed. Clearly was enamored with what Steve Sarkisian was doing. That's why he's in Tuscaloosa. So I want to see what that offense looks like. Is it different? What general changes with all the people that are gone? And then I'm interested in Auburn because the offensive line has been a problem. It's part of the reason why Bo Nix seems like a deer in headlights. How much of a reason is that? I don't know, but Brian Harsin has a track record of figuring things out and developing offensive lines that, at least in terms of Mountain West football, were top tier. So I want to see that. And then Georgia without the receivers, or without George Pickens, who's going to be that guy? They really only have three healthy receivers that have seen meaningful snaps right now. Two of those guys, Kyaris Jackson and Demetrius Robertson, are pretty darn solid. So I want to see, you know, who can be that deep threat, because they find a deep threat. If they find a guy who can take the top off of defense, that team's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, and LSU, with everything that's going on off the field surrounding that university, that athletic department, who's going to be that guy at quarterback. That's going to be one of the storylines. But when you look at an LSU, and let's just take the Western Division between these two teams, LSU bouncing back, trying to bounce back from how they fared last year, even though they got better as the season went on. They had the win in the Swamp. Texas A&M sustaining that level. Which do you see more probable? The bounce back of LSU in 2021 or Texas A&M sustaining that level that they reached in 2020?
I would say Texas A&M, you know, maybe not the exact level they reached, you know, being on the cusp of the playoff, but I don't know about LSU this year. You know, their defense, I know Durante Jones is a really good coordinator, or at least assistant coach, and has a track record of that, but they were just a mess defensively last year. I don't know if that's all Bo Pelini. My gut is that it is, but we have to see that. And then I think it's in terms of the offense, I trust Jimbo, especially with the duo Spiller and Achane in the backfield to be more consistent. So I think Texas A&M is going to be perhaps the biggest threat to Alabama next year in the West. May not be the most challenging. You know, I think Ole Miss, when they're hot, is going to be really tough to beat. But when they're not, they're going to be easy to beat. A&M is going to be solid. I trust that defense. I think, yeah, the quarterback situation is up in the air right now. But it'll be fine when you've got those running backs behind you.
Another spring game tomorrow is going to be Mississippi State. And earlier this week, the ESPN FPI came out. And it had Mississippi State ranked eighth, or I should say in the eighth spot, not really a ranking, but in the eighth spot. Just your thoughts on Mississippi State getting that kind of love this early in the Mike Leach era.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was just the SEC West, and maybe the SEC West added another team, and thus Mississippi State was eighth instead of seventh, because I'm probably going to pick them last in the SEC West right now. I mean, it
Come
is.
On,
I would love to know the metrics on how that came to be, because I don't see it. With Will Rogers at quarterback, I mean, without Kylan Hill, I mean, I know Kylan Hill failed last year, but still, I don't know, man. That to me is insane. I would be shocked. I mean, I'm talking about shocked if Mississippi State isn't picked last in the West at Media Days. And they have them at eighth in the FPI. I mean, come on.
All right, so wait a minute, Barrett. You're saying you're down on Mississippi State, and our friends in Starkville and the Magnolia State and state fans in this area that listen to the show, and we do have those fans that listen to the show. Make the case for Arkansas finishing ahead of Mississippi State in the West.
KJ Jefferson has a lot of upside. He fits into what Kendall Briles wants to do. They've got really established receivers, including Treylon Burks, who's one of the best in the SEC. They've got weapons, and I think Sam Pittman has established a role, established a mindset that suits well in the SEC West. The defense has been, I think, is phenomenal in terms of the staff, and they're by and large coming back. So that's a more stable program right now. And right now, I don't know how you could trust Mike Leach after what you saw last year with the highs and the lows.
Speaking of other spring games, is there anything from the ACC, whether it was Clemson's spring game or what happened down in Tallahassee with Florida State? I mean, did anything else pique your interest or get anything out of those two programs' spring games?
Not really, honestly. You know, I think when you look at McKenzie Milton, that's probably the biggest thing, but I don't think they gave him a ton of the offense. It was great to see him out there, and it was great to see him move up and down the field for those two, three drives, however long he was in. But they're still building, so I guess the biggest thing to me was that McKenzie Milton's back. Is he going to be McKenzie Milton of, you know, two, 3 years ago? We don't know that. You can't know that from a spring game. So right now, just the fact that he's back is really cool. He seemed healthy. He didn't seem apprehensive. So that would be the one thing that stands out to me more than anything else.
All right, so we've got in the Big 12, as we move around the country in college football, Barrett, in our way too early projections, outlooks for 2021, Texas with Sark taking over. And then you have Iowa State, and Iowa State, a team that is very high in those projections, according to the FBI, and where they are under Matt Campbell. Which one of those programs, the outlook for 2021, which one looks brighter?
I'd say Iowa State, maybe not fourth in the country, like the FBI said. But, I mean, look, you have Breece Hall. You've got Brock Purdy. You've got a track record of defensive success. I just, to me, it feels like Iowa State is bound for the Big 12 championship game again. You know they can give Oklahoma fits. They've done that several times during the Matt Campbell era. So, to me, it's Iowa State. I'm not going to buy into Texas until Texas proves that I should buy into Texas. I mean, just plain and simple. I cannot trust that team. Yeah, they've got players. I get that. You know, Casey Johnson coming in the bowl game for Sam Ehlinger was a good sign, I would say, a sign for the future. But I'm done buying into Texas, especially with when a team like Iowa State's in that conference that has not only a track record of success, but a ton of really good players coming back.
All right, so Barrett, every day on the show we do a segment called Pat Potter's. Pat asks us five questions. We're not prepared for them. We don't know what he's going to ask, and we have to respond. John Sabair filled in for Pat yesterday, did a wonderful job in writing the questions. One of the questions he asked, and I hope that I'm actually getting this right in the way that he asked it, but name a celebrity that you had a crush on when you were younger that now you find embarrassing.
Oh, name a celebrity that I had a crush on that now I find embarrassing. Oh, man.
I will tell you where John went. I'll tell you where I went. John went Chelsea Clinton. He went Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, God.
Well, before you say, oh, God, I went Rue McClanahan, Blanche from Golden Girls, because I was supposed to watch it with my grandmother. No, she was a good-looking Southern woman.
That's really disturbing. I'm not going to lie. That's really
seasoned,
disturbing.
Cole could not decide, and he basically went Switzerland. Where are you going?
So I had a crush when I was a kid on, I don't even know what she's doing now, but the middle child from Full House, she's roughly my age, and I think her name's Jodie Sweetin. I think that's her name. So I really liked her. I had no idea what she's doing now, and I think when people look at Full House, she's like the last character you think of.
Michelle?
She's roughly
No,
my
that's
age.
Not Michelle.
What's that? No.
Her character name. What was her name?
I don't even remember.
Sabair, you know it.
I don't remember.
Yeah, she blew up. I'll tell you that.
But didn't Alicia Silverstone become an anti-vaxxer?
Yeah.
She'd be on that list, too.
Well, Alicia Silverstone, I don't think her hygiene habits were great. They did some interviews with her, and
what?
I mean, just nothing we really need to get into.
Something was weird with her. Something was definitely weird with her.
Yeah.
But she was hot and clueless.
Yeah. Stacey Dash was hot and clueless, let's be honest.
Yes, she was. That's true.
Yeah.
Incidentally, Barrett, Alicia Silverstone, who is in one of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies, which is something that my kids have seen.
Is she like a mom or something?
Yeah, she's a mom. I'm sitting there watching it going, I know her. Do I know her in real life? And then I finally, like 45 minutes in, I'm like, holy crap, that's Alicia Silverstone. Still looks good.
Okay, I'm looking at it's just bothering me, the Jodie Sweetin character on Full House. What was her? Stephanie Tanner. She had a little bit of a lisp.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that right? Okay.
I think so.
All right. Who are you taking today? Braves? Should I take the Braves? -1.5?
Kyle Wright pitching? No, take the over. I don't know if the wind's blowing in, but take the over if it's blowing out.
The Cubs are batting 163 as a team. Y'all think that over's going to hit?
Have you seen everybody else on the Braves besides Ronald Acuna?
Have you seen Kyle Wright?
Can he actually lick his fingers, which he complained about last year when he couldn't use the saliva to get tack on the ball? Can he do that?
I would imagine that if he doesn't ask beforehand, then that's on him. But I mean, I'm not very excited to see Kyle Wright pitch. I know he was supposed to go in the alternate site today, and that's why he's pitching, and that's fine, but. I mean, can we get Bryce Wilson for the love?
Yeah, I know. All right, Barrett. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
See you guys.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee on Twitter on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. With zero sugar, zero carbs, and only 80 calories, try cucumber lime, peach pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.